Okay, so he's not a ghost.
He tucked and rolled and somehow didn't damage the banjo climbing out. Are you saying he's a ghost, Jen? That might... No, there's nothing supernatural in this.
No, stop getting in my head. Okay, but how does he learn how to play the banjo that well at the end?
She showed him a whole chord, Jen.
Ghosts are natural music players.
Has the picture of the uncle looking down into the hole of water that's now still and you don't know where Maud is anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But in the fight, his string got pulled. So now his fake arm is up and he's giving a salute to himself from the bottom of a sewer hole. Visually, it's fantastic. I'm just saying. I like that. But the army problems?
Yeah. And the camera cuts to Harold in a field smiling.
He's laying in a field, staring up at the sky through trees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thinking, Maud, do you pray? Like, yes. To God? No.
To life. This is who we have been left with. So you just kind of have to like grin and bear it.
I'm okay with it. He's like, I feel so good right now. I feel like doing somersaults.
Yeah. And she's like, well, why don't you? It's like, oh, I don't know. It feels so weird.
It's every person's right to make an ass of themselves.
Yeah.
And don't let the world judge you too hard.
And then he goes, and does cartwheels.
Yes. And then he wants her to do cartwheels. And she's like, I'm not doing cartwheels.
Yeah.
And then she starts going, and then Tarzan yell, random ass.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't do it. Can you guys?
That's good.
Is it?
Yeah. Good? Yeah, that's good.
Tarzan! It's Tarzan yelling.
Yeah.
Tarzan!
Yeah. Sounds good. And there's a bit of a montage with them just kind of like going through the fields and everything.
Now they're just enjoying each other's company because they're free of all this oppression.
And you hear Cat Stevens saying, if you want to be low, be low. If you want to be high, be high. Yeah. And then that music almost like cuts off.
Oh, this is where my note says, I love their romantic build.
Yeah.
It's normally something that I freaking hate in a romance novel.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, not a romance novel. I love romance novels. Yeah. I love all of that terrible crap in a romance novel. Mm-hmm. But when I have to watch Jennifer Lopez do it mm-hmm. for 45 minutes,
yeah,
I'm over it.
But this is like really genuine because like they're...
He's giving her a piggyback ride.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What else do you like about their romance?
She's just like running in the fields and he's still doing the cartwheels. And like then you come to this moment where the sun is setting. They're next to the water.
They've got a blanket over their lap.
Yeah. And he's just like, I really like you, Maud. Yeah. And then he sees this tattoo on her wrist and the camera like pans in quickly. And then just as quick, it cuts away. And Maud's talking about Dreyfus, who's probably an author or poet of some kind.
Nope. He was a prisoner in anti-Semitic France.
I looked it up.
Yeah. And he was imprisoned. And it's a big tell about how I think the French were claiming to not be anti-Semitic, but mm-hmm. he was only locked up for being a Jew.
Yeah.
That's probably not true. Please don't check my history on that. He was a Jew. He was locked up in France. He was stuck on an island called Devil's Island.
Oh, wow.
So this really happened.
So when he's talking about these birds that he thinks are just so glorious, mm-hmm. and then he finds out that they're seagulls.
He's disappointed.
Yeah.
But she says,
I think I'll always see seagulls as being glorious.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even care that they're sky rats.
Yeah.
Not even a problem for me.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, I'll see you again tomorrow. Oh, no, wait, I can't. I have a date mm-hmm. with a girl. And she's just kind of like, okay.
Yeah. And she's like, yeah, I get it. And that's when we meet
our little ray of sunshine.
The third and final girl that this computer service dating thing.
Because they give you 3 matches with your initial investment
mm-hmm.
and none of them are ugly or fat.
Right.
That's what the mother said. Okay.
Yeah. And this woman's name is Sunshine.
She's a Maud girl. She's got the hat. She's got the clashing patterns. She looks like the Steve Martin character with the Dan Aykroyd character who are like the wild and crazy guys.
She's an actress.
Sunshine.
She got her name from Louis Sunshine. He was her inspiration and really taught her how to use her body.
Her instrument.
Which is her body.
That is true.
Yeah.
Oh, we decided that she's very Amy Sedaris-esque.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic. Yeah. I like that a lot. Mm-hmm. Because she, of the three girls, seems the most interested and genuine. And it may just be because the other girls are slow to start. Mm-hmm. But one is there's a sorority girl who drew the short straw for trying computer dating. There's the boring, but hey, maybe if you got to know her, mm-hmm. bird seed salesman. And now we've got an actress who's just like, I'm going to yes and with you. I kind of like her.
Harold takes her into this room, and as soon as she comes through it, he like is slowly, like he creaks the door open very ominously.
She's like, this place is so nice. And he's like, and the look on his face is so nice, huh? Not creepy as fudge.
Yeah. She's still kind of into it. She looks like, oh, is this your dad? And he's like, no, that's my uncle. And I was like, oh, well, what about these knives? These sure look
good. Don't touch those.
Like, this is a Harry Carey blade.
You like knives? And she's like, oh, yes. I'm like, oh, my gosh. She's yes-anding the crap out of this date. Yeah. You know what, though? If you walked into a certain pile of money, mm-hmm. I mean, you might see where you could go with it first.
Yeah.
Just don't write it off right away. This is old money.
Yeah. And so he's like, do you want to see what this can do? And she's like, yeah. And she's really interested.
I love the presentation he gives with this. Laying mm-hmm. out the Harry Carey mat, taking off his jacket and hanging on the chair.
Flipping his tie so it doesn't get ruined.
Yeah, he holds the blade to himself and then he's like, oh, wait. And then he flips the tie over his shoulder. And he does the right movements according to charts I've seen, which is, I don't know why I know this, but he inserts the blade into his abdomen with like a jerking motion. And then he pulls it straight up and then you pull it to the side and down mm-hmm. and then back over again. Kind of like a letter D. Uh-huh. And then he's like, and he pulls the knife from himself and he just falls dramatically to the ground. And you cut to her face and she's like, oh,
that is so amazing.
I was Juliet, and Louis said that it was my best performance. And then she comes over and
she grabs the blade. Mm. Oh, she takes her hat off,
places it next to his head, and is like, here's me pretending to quote Shakespeare. Oh, what is this? She leans her head into her hat and she's like, he's not left me any poison. Oh, death this. And she holds she tests the knife in her hand. And she's like, she holds a fake bloody hand to her chest and she's like, let this be thy sheath. And she shoves it into herself and she goes, ah. And she's like, oh, it's the worst.
And as she's doing this whole performance, Harold kind of turns his head and looks at her.
His face was facing the other way and he's like, what the hell is this doing?
And then she collapses in front of him she
grabs his face and smears fake blood all over it, and he kind of leans back up and she lays across where he was, so now he's like over her body, like what the hell, and she's covered in blood. And so he stands up and he's like, oh, I should pick up the blade. So he picks up the knife and he's like, I've never had anybody yes and me during a death scene, is basically the look on his face. Then his mom, who said she was going to come down with drinks later, is now at the door with a butler. She's holding a lemonade. He's holding a tray with some beverages on it.
Do you know what she says?
I don't remember.
She says, Harold, that was your last date.
She goes like she's going to put her drink on the butler's tray. And she is like a foot off and a foot of front. And she just drops her lemonade on the floor.
Harold, kind of like mirroring her, drops the knife.
That's true.
And then she drops the drink.
Ah, oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
Visually, it's amazing because they are both like, well, there's nothing left there.
Yeah.
No military, no girlfriends. What are we going to do with ourselves, Lydia? What's left in life to live for?
I guess Maude at a carnival.
Cut to a scrambler.
Yeah. And they like, they're on a ride and they get off of the ride and they were like, oh, that really wasn't that scary.
A guy with sunglasses opens the gate for them to get out. I mean, I've never been a carny, but I assume that's part of the uniform.
Yeah.
So then they do, I wrote down a small list. They do the scrambler. They go to the toy trains. There's a guy at some point playing the trains between mm-hmm. Maude and Harold, and that's the director. That's Ashby. Mm-hmm. And then they cut to, what is Maude playing at that lit table?
It's like one of those, I don't want to say, it's not skeet ball. Like, you know, the hover discs and things where they got the air.
Oh, like air hockey?
Air hockey, yeah. Or something similar to
it. I get unreasonable playing air hockey. Jen can attest, I'm an asshole. I mean, like, there's not a lot where I'm like, I will eat you. Air hockey's one of them.
Nice. It's that and Mario Kart.
I've played Mario Kart with both of you guys. You guys are pretty vicious.
It's true. It's so very true. I pretend I'm timid so much, but those two things belie the point that I am, like, the worst.
Well, and, like, this is Mario Kart, like, a few years ago. So there was only, like, a couple of cars where they had light characters.
Yeah, I am the princess. Yeah. I'm, like, not the princess anywhere else, but I am the princess in Mario Kart. I want a light, fast car that recovers quickly after damage. I'm going to be in the front of the pack. I know not to be the front of the pack until the last round because I don't want no blue shells on my butt. Mm-hmm. And then I will blast you with that red shell I've been holding for a lap and a half.
Yeah. Anyway, so
personality flaws are what makes us special.
As Maude is playing with this group of people, Harold's like doing something at like
I thought she was playing craps, and he was playing a weird
casino.
Casino, like a slot machine sort of deal. And then obviously it turns out to be an embossing engraving machine.
Yeah, and they go by the water, and Harold,
you have such a way with people.
And she's like, well, they are my species.
Cute. That's probably one of my favorite things she says too.
Yeah. And then he gives her this gift, and she looks at it and she says, Harold loves Maude.
That's what it says on the coin thing he punched for her.
And her reply is, and Maude loves Harold.
Which is the sweetest freaking thing, because it mirrors what they said ish before.
And then pew pew fireworks.
Nope.
No?
No. She chucks it into the water.
Oh, that's right. She chucks it into the water, and she says,
and he looks at her, and he's like bemusedly in love with her regardless.
Yeah.
He looks at her, and he's like, and she's like, so I always know where it is.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, she sounds like Harley Quinn and Audrey too.
That's her in the 20s. Totally.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Maude in the 20s and the 30s, just living it up.
Yeah.
I mean, she's still got the same driving style as Harley Quinn probably too.
So there's this thing that I'm sure we've talked about, which is the manic pixie dream girl.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Every one of them, every Zoe Deschanel, every freaking name another one, all the way down the line. But the list starts with Zoe.
Mm-hmm.
No hate on her. Love her better with bangs. Mm-hmm. But Zoe. To like...
Oh, Natalie Portman in Garden State.
June from Betty and June. Mm-hmm. Benny and June.
yeah.
Okay, but all of them aspire to be who Maude is.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, they want to have these larger than life experiences and love things for just the sake of loving them.
Mm-hmm.
And she does all of these things. And that's what enamors Harold to her, because he couldn't love anything. He could only find joy in destruction. And she's telling him, no, building and growing and fulfilling this thing. That's what's going to make you happy. And he's finding it to be true.
Yeah. Maude is definitely a manic pixie dream girl.
Yes, but genuinely so.
Mm-hmm.
She's not having to try. She's not like, I have to buy these leg warmers, even though it's 2013, because it's going to prove that I like my funky, fresh style. Like, she's not like, pancakes for dinner makes it so that I'm a unique person. She's like, in this moment, in this time, I crave this. I desire this. I'm enjoying this. And I think it separates it for me.
Mm-hmm.
She's just in the moment loving life.
Yeah.
In a genuine hippie way.
Yeah.
Even though she's almost an octogenarian, and like Harold is like this super hippie who wants that. He doesn't know he wants it.
Right.
But he's getting there.
Yeah.
He's going from emo to emotional.
Mm.
Or emotionally sound.
Yeah. Sorry. Fireworks. Pew, pew,
yes.
Pew, pew, pew.
Yes, it pans up to the sky and there's fireworks.
And then we cut to Harold.
He's blowing.
Shirtless.
Yeah, oh my God. Okay,
blowing so
this
bubbles.
This is the second scene I was like, oh, dang. I mean, it's the only other real, like, sexual moment.
Yeah.
I'll talk about it later, but, like, the romance is what's really important in this.
Yeah.
Because it's the relationship that they're building. She's getting to share and have this closure, and he's getting this opening up. And so when they cut to him blowing bubbles with his hair all askew and his eyes that are amazing.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, dang.
Yeah. And she's still asleep, and there are like bubbles floating over
her
face.
They're in bed. The dawn of the light of dawn is streaming through her streetcar. Mm-hmm. I mean, talk about streetcar named Desire. morals abstracted from this. Like, they're
right.
They got big windows, and the ocean is nearby, and they've just made love. And he's just like, this is all I've ever wanted.
Yeah.
This is all I could ever want. Mm-hmm. Blowing bubbles.
Yeah.
I like it. Oh, they were going to film a sex scene, but the producer's wife kiboshed it and said, nobody wants to see that. But they did make sure that they showed that they had sex.
Mm-hmm. Good, good. And then we see Harold's mom talking to the person on the phone, Faye.
Faye.
Yeah.
Well, Faye, blah, 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 in the way that I keep, she always talks. I do not care what she says.
Yeah. And Harold comes in and is like, Mom, I need to talk with you. And she's like, not now.
No, she, what is it?
No, I think she doesn't do that until he says, I'm getting married. And that's when she was like, hold on.
Oh.
And then she's like, To whom?
He hands her a sunflower seed packet.
She's like, what is this bullshit?
On the other side. And she flips it over and it's a picture of Maude.
Mm-hmm. And so we see a picture of his uncle, his therapist, and his pastor talking about like how wrong it is.
Yeah, it's the rundown of everybody who's going to tell him that this is a bad idea.
Three men talking about the value of a woman
based on age.
Yeah, and like it specifically lingers on the Catholic priest.
Yeah, I said that in my notes. The priest wins of the three arguments, not because of him actually making any valid point. It's all in delivery.
Oh, yeah.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
It's the worst.
Yeah, this is, yeah. But it doesn't matter because Harold loves Maude.
It's true.
And Maude loves Harold.
Even if she has a flabby buttocks, which the guy's like, flabby. Oh, I guess you guys need context. He's just like, I can't imagine. I'm going to paraphrase for you guys. I can't imagine your body with her body looking as her body does. It makes me want to vomit.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's awful. Yeah. But the way he delivers it, that actor, he should have gotten a high five.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, do you know what the perfect birthday is?
A birthday that gives you all of your flowers? And it's like so Harold decorates Maude's entire train car with flowers.
Yeah, like paper flowers.
And he like takes off a blindfold and she's just like, oh, this is so sweet. Thank you so much.
Happy birthday, Maude. It's like a hand-painted poster on mm-hmm. the wall. I mean, there are literally paper flowers everywhere and there's sunflowers and daisies.
Yeah, and he like hands her a daisy saying, this is for you.
Well, first he whips he whips the cloth off of a table and there's this perfect little cake and there's a bottle of champagne and there's glasses. And then he grabs the little vase with the white daisy in it.
Yeah. The champagne is organic.
Yeah, she goes, oh, you even got champagne. He's like, it's okay, it's organic.
Yeah.
Which is a callback to what she said, which was adorable. And then he's like, this is for you. And she's like, oh. And
yeah. He's like, I'm going to give you a big surprise after dinner. And she's like.
He grabs the little box.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, because they've been surprising each other all this time, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a new relationship and he supposedly has no idea of whatever. And he really mm-hmm. doesn't. But he grabs the little box and he's like, after dinner, I have another surprise for you, and I hope that it makes you really happy.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh.
This is such a lovely farewell.
Yeah, she goes, I'm already happy. This is, hold on. I couldn't imagine a lovelier farewell.
And that's when Harold is like, farewell. And
yeah, yes, I told you. It's my 80th birthday. Mm-hmm. I already took the pills an hour ago. I'll be gone by midnight. Which is where, if you've never seen the film before and you didn't catch up on all that subtlety that sometimes I don't catch, mm-hmm. you start running around the room and screaming at the top of your lungs because you've fallen in love with these guys.
Mm-hmm. And Harold just like stares at her and like, again, such good acting.
It's a long beat. It's like, how many beats would you say? It's like 5 beats?
I would say it's like probably like a solid 15 seconds.
As many beats as he eats in the beginning.
I can't stand this anymore. Okay, that's a different scene.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And then he like shouts and looks like just like, what? And
it's only what?
Yeah.
Like it's pure shock.
Yeah.
What?
And he cuts after that to them in the ambulance. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, Maude, don't die.
Oh, she's like, it's all right. He's like, I love you. And she's like, good. That's wonderful. Go and love more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I really love this movie on so many levels. However, I do not feel like Harold and Maude would have been good together in the long term because they do not communicate with each other.
I think if she is as brilliant as she appears to be, she mm-hmm. would have eventually been called on her life wisdom and been like, if they weren't meant to be together, she'd been like, you know, now our time is to be apart and you mm-hmm. need to go be a younger person off somewhere now that I'm like 95. But no, this is the part of my notes where it goes asshole much
mm-hmm.
because she didn't say anything. And she, I'm going to caveat this before we go towards the end because it's too sad. But apparently, in the book and in some deleted scenes or never shot cut scenes where they never actually shot them, there's allusions to her having something like Alzheimer's
mm-hmm.
or dementia or some sort of severely debilitating, deteriorating condition.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen people who've had to go through that, and it's miserable. And I guess if like you're old enough and you've seen enough people go through it, that you might go to the headspace where you wouldn't want to suffer through that and you might make a commitment like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that she's known this kid a week.
Yeah.
But she knows what it's like to be 18 and to have fallen in love for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
She knows.
Yeah.
If nothing else, Frederick, that is mentioned once and never mm-hmm. mentioned again.
Yeah.
Like, she knows that she's handing him a whole bunch of hurt. And although she's waxed poetic about how we need to be hurt in order for us to truly live, and mm-hmm. every rose has a thorn or whatever the hell she decided to say, which yeah. she did not say that, but because she's a
yeah.
sunflower and he's a daisy.
Even if she just wanted to like remember this like moment and be happy in this moment, it was still one of those things where, I mean, Harold, that has to be traumatic for Harold.
Yeah.
And he's going to have to deal with that.
She does, however, show a lack of empathy towards people externally. Mm-hmm. She does this greater good. She does this greater love thing, but she screwed up that cop's day. Mm-hmm. She was screwing up those people's vehicles and taking them. So it's not like anybody in this film is like this altruistic, a lawful good. Mm-hmm. She's at best a chaotic good.
Yeah.
This also comes down to how she feels about possessions, though. And if she had let him know that she was going to do this, it would have changed the way that she feels that relationship should have been. She needs it to be a flight of fancy in order for it to actually be meaningful, like the collections and...
Yeah, because he would have made it too much about her dying and not enough about them being together.
Yeah.
Yeah, she waits until the very last minute to let him know that she's... Well, I mean, she's a Holocaust survivor who has chosen her own way to die.
Right, which is super powerful in its own right. However, I still feel like she at one point said that she loved him and like they ended up having sex. And like that has to mean something, and you can't do something like that without it very clearly saying this is all about me. And at that point it's kind of one-sided in the relationship.
In Auschwitz, mm-hmm. there are three Auschwitz camps, and those are the only three concentration camps in Germany that would tattoo people, and they only tattooed the workers, because if you were going to be put to immediate death, they wouldn't waste their time tattooing you, mm-hmm. and they only tattooed you to catalog your body if you happened to die while in service, so she was probably not slated for the guillotine, metaphorically, mm-hmm. but I'm sure she had friends and family who were, and to have people ripped from you, especially too soon, mm-hmm. and it could be said, you know, a week-long romance, I feel, even with an octogenarian, mm-hmm. is too soon. Mm-hmm. If they look so young and they act so full of life, you can see why his guts are just ripped from his body. Mm-hmm. And she should have known better. And I don't know if the Alzheimer possibility is enough to explain that away for me.
Right. Yeah. And so...
Took the pills an hour ago. What?
Yeah.
Did you see their last moment together? Did you see how it go?
Oh, the montage?
He kisses her on the cheek. They start to wheel her through the door. Mm-hmm. She reaches her hand back, and that's it. Mm-hmm. Scream into the night about that, people.
Because it's this montage. The very end is just this montage of Harold driving, cutting between them at the hospital and Harold driving and Harold waiting.
Him weeping, him like standing against this wall, standing against that wall. And if you want a reference to that, Little Shop of Horrors has a waiting for work to start montage. No, that's terrible.
You see this like these cuts of like a doctor walking down the hall, like either coming to inform Harold, just coming to get Maude.
Guy with the latex gloves walks up to Harold, and Harold just walks out of the hospital. So it's obvious that she's passed.
Yeah.
And he knows there's nothing he can do, so he gets in the car and drives. Right. Which cuts back to the other scenes where we've seen him driving, and now he's driving like Maude, and I am worried for this young man.
Yeah. And you see the car just zooming down, and then you eventually hear the car coming closer to a cliff, and then it just goes right over the cliff.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. The first time you see that. The car flies off the edge of the cliff, Dukes of Hazzard style.
Yeah.
It's a high seawall. It's probably 50 or more feet, if not like 100. And the movie pauses. Mm-hmm. And that's when all of our butts clenched as much as Harold's mom does for the mm-hmm. entire first whole of the movie. Mm-hmm. And then the movie uncuts. At the same exact moment, you see the car crash into the floor of the the tide is out far enough that the sand and rocks are exposed, so it freaking pancakes on the it squishes real good.
So like for 30 seconds it just kind of shows this car going off the cliff, and then it lingers on this car crushed, and then you see the camera pan up and Harold is at the top with his banjo.
Yeah.
And like when I saw that, I was like, okay, he's not dead. Because like everything in this movie has shown us that he does not go through with these attempts. They're always for show.
Oh, I've got a different theory than that.
Okay.
But keep going.
But so it makes sense that, you know, he would go ahead. I mean, the hearse was obviously, you know, kind of this representation of everything that he had before he met Maud, his whole personality. And so it makes sense that, you know, that would ultimately get destroyed. But again, as the audience, there's a lot of clues and reasoning as to why Harold didn't kill himself.
So upon this watching with you.
Yeah.
I have a fan theory.
Yeah.
And we'll never know, because all he does is plink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink away with his banjo off into the distance, where it freezes and goes to credits, where they only mention the actors, and then the movie's over. Mm-hmm. That's fine. When I was sitting next to you at the end, and I went, ooh, and I grabbed my notebook.
Oh.
He faked his death so he didn't have to deal with his mother anymore. His whole dead life is done. He doesn't have to deal with those people. He doesn't be there anymore. He's not anything but his own self, where he can go live his own Maud-inspired life.
That is great.
I think it might be the answer.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's not a ghost.
He tucked and rolled and somehow didn't damage the banjo climbing out. Are you saying he's a ghost, Jen? That might... No, there's nothing supernatural in this.
No, stop getting in my head. Okay, but how does he learn how to play the banjo that well at the end?
She showed him a whole chord, Jen.
Ghosts are natural music players.
I mean, Disney said so. In the 1970s, 60s, bones dancing.
Yeah. Okay. I'll take that.
Okay. So we got three theories. Yours is?
He just let it all go. It was like this, the hearse was his past self.
I kind of thought that too.
And with Maud passing, he was like, now I have a chance to be something new.
Okay. So mine's kind of had something to be new, but now he has evidence of his death, so his mom will leave him alone. And your theory is?
He actually was in the car and he died. You're seeing his ghost play the banjo and walk away.
I mean, between the Tarzan yell and the fourth wall break, I would totally believe that.
Yours is just as believable as me thinking him rolling with a perfectly undamaged banjo out of a speeding Jaguar hearse hybrid, as to her releasing of monetary wealth and old personality to be emerged like a phoenix brand new.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it when people just talk about like, oh, this is what I like. This is my theory. I love fan theories.
I love a fan theory too.
Yeah.
So, you guys. Oh. It didn't fade to black, did you notice?
No, it didn't.
It faded to white.
It you hear Cat Stevens saying, and he sings the whole song as you only see the actor's credits. Because that makes sense, because the opening credits had all of the other stuff, all of the other people.
Well, and it was dark. And then at the end of these credits, it goes to a white screen.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like we started in darkness and we ended with like a new beginning. Mm-hmm. It's very, very thoughtfully closed off for us.
Yeah.
And that's how Harold and Maude do. That sounded bad. That's how Harold and Maude went down. Nope. That's how Harold and Maude came together. That's how Harold and Maude came to their own climax.
I feel like all of these are planned.
Nope. That's how we as an audience received closure on this beautiful romantic tale.
There you go.
Yeah. Lydia Malcolm, are you prepared?
No.
Okay. Would you like me to go first then?
Sure.
You want shocked or applaud?
We'll do shocked.
Okay. I did not appreciate... Okay, so the two people we're supposed to root for the entire film is Harold and Maude, right?
Yeah.
These two guys against the world, old, wizened, and kind of hot, and young and stupid. Like, okay, all going after, like, fighting the man and the one who's been doing it her whole life and the one who's just learning how to escape these oppressive parents of hippies or whatever.
Right.
Maude's whole thing is to look at a person, place, or thing and see its true beauty and value. And she's teaching that to Harold. So that's supposed to be Harold's thing, too. They immediately dismiss the mother, who is a widow, who is trying her best all the time to get the best for her son. I get she's doing it wrong. We all have parents are doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Looking for the best intentions of your parents is a fantastic step to growing as a person. I know that that has changed me a lot.
Right.
The uncle, family, the same. Okay, so he's a little freaking gun happy about the army, but he cares enough to like reach out to his nephew and try to help him, especially with something that he's passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
The police officer is literally titled a public servant. And maybe I just have a love for first responders, but most of the time especially if you're nonviolent and you're not self-harming, if you are like, I'm going to talk to this officer like they're a human being, they talk to you like you're a human being. Like, we're mm-hmm. all freaking human beings.
Yeah.
Okay. I say that with white privilege because that's just been my experience.
Right.
But also, you know, I think that to assume that anyone you encounter isn't able to evolve, but you can, is a level of arrogance that makes me mad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they show when they're not doing things that I absolutely love.
Yeah.
They're like, I'm going to steal this tree, which a committee came along together, yes, and decided that this part of the city needed some foliage. And instead mm-hmm. of trying to solve the problem there, they were like, we're taking it into our own hands. Vigilante hippiness. And I'm like, there's got to be a happy middle ground mm-hmm. where, you know, she only had a week, though. I suppose she couldn't go save that tree.
But yeah.
She could have given him explicit gardening instructions.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. But you see my point.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
my shocked moment.
Yeah. Like the one thing that I think would have been nice if they had changed is, I, like I said, I wasn't prepared for this movie. I guess there's just a part of me that's like, I'm just going to go with it. I don't think that we need to see this lingering, despite the fact that the performance was really good. I could have probably done without that just lingeringness. It just, with the Catholic priest, it felt like, you know, a Catholic priest who was just kind of like, it just felt like a Catholic priest joke. And I don't know if they did these back in the 1970s.
Oh, sure.
But it was just like,
since the dawn of time.
Yeah, it was just like, I don't need this.
Look at Og worshiping fire. Isn't he a dork?
Well, it's more like he's...
You know what they say, worship fire, you're going to get burned. Yeah, they've made religion jokes forever.
Well, I mean, it was specifically the fact that he's a Catholic priest and he's talking about, like, the flabby skin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he certainly seemed like he could have been a pedophile.
Yeah.
And that...
That yeah. was just like, I did not need that in this movie. If I mean, because
they did it with all religion. And then when she was asked if she prayed, she said, yeah, you know, I to life.
It's more the fact that, you know, like the uncle, he's like, I just don't think this is right. The therapist is just like, you know, there's this thing about a man who wants to sleep with his mom, but you apparently want to sleep with your grandma. And then the priest, it just kind of lingers a little bit too long.
Do you think it's a little too visceral?
I do.
Okay. He, however... Okay, and by the way, the only thing I like about that part is the delivery.
And the delivery is excellent.
Yeah, and yeah. It's super gross. But the thing I think, and I'm not to argue against you because you're allowed to have your opinion, and I want you to hold mm-hmm. it firmly and shake it if you need to.
Yeah.
Nope. God bless it.
It goes in line with this movie.
Okay, but the priest is kind of saying what nobody else will say. That's what everybody's problem is with it.
Mm-hmm.
You like some hippie chick who's kind of fun and quirky? That's fine. The mom tried to do that with Sunshine. Everybody is being ageist. Everyone thinks that she is gross because she is old, right? But like, but they haven't seen this romance build. They haven't seen this beautiful relationship. Mm-hmm. And so they are like,
it's
they
solely
see, they
about
see the
it.
Picture, they see how old she is, and they're like, that's gross.
Yeah.
Because she's older. And I'm like, huh.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe he's a pervy priest, but he is saying the thing that makes everybody else grossed out.
I'm okay with him saying that. Huh. I felt like it was just lingering way too long.
Oh, yeah. You could have cut that by like 5 seconds.
Yeah.
He does drag it out if you're talking about delivery wise.
He literally says buttocks.
He goes buttocks.
Yeah. And I'm just like, I was like, okay, just go ahead and, you know, hit the nail on the head, even though it's already in the wood.
It could have been funnier if he just delivered it straight.
Mm-hmm.
If he was like, my boy, the thing that drives me crazy is the idea of your body and her sagging breasts and buttocks in, you know, whatever he says, like, it makes me want to vomit.
You see, well, I guess the way that I would have done it is probably have, you know, Uncle Victor say, you know, I'm totally for your, you know, you getting married, just... like this, the therapist is kind of saying it like, oh, you want to have sex with your grandma? What's all with that? Also, when that point comes, you know, there's a picture of Freud behind him.
That's awesome.
And then, but the preacher, it just kind of feels like it's just going on and on and on.
And it's not about caring for him.
Right. If he just was like, but she's old. If he had just done something like, I don't see why you would want to get together with someone who's old. That just doesn't seem right.
Hmm.
You know, something like that. Just like is straight to the point. Because everybody else is kind of skirting around it. And he doesn't skirt around it. He very much draws attention to it, but just in a very long and drawn out way. And I would have changed that.
I would get behind that. I wouldn't mind that part being redone.
But I do like your shocked moment. I think that's a lot more like mine's all surface. You're just like,
sometimes my shocked moment is just, you know, I didn't like the way that their hair was done. So I just have a whole thing about the pull of the whole older generation, newer generation. It just mm-hmm. feels like a fabricated thing that we're bickering.
Yeah.
And I'm like, or we could help each other or we could just assume we're both human beings and we went through some shit and it looks like different shit, but guess what? Same shit.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have your applaud moment?
Oh.
Mine's real stupid. So if you wanted to go deep with it, no, just kidding. I mean, like, yes, but you can, whatever makes your heart sing about this.
I mean, there's so much. I would have to go with, like, the cinematography. Mm. Like, I know, I mean, if people did not like the editing and the pacing of the film, then I guess it's definitely different. It's kind of like when you bring a plate of broccoli to people and you're like, oh, would you like broccoli? And they're just sort of like, ugh. You know?
It has to be your thing.
Yeah. And I really liked the pacing in this a lot. And the cinematography was just great. Like, there were just little moments, like Harold going to open up his door and then it cuts to him opening up Maude's door, which if you listen to the audio is the exact same door handle sound. Mm. And that's how they kind of link things together. And I absolutely love that.
Yeah.
And like Harold playing the banjo at Maude's and then cutting to him like playing the banjo at his mom's.
Oh, I was going to mention to you in that scene, Maude had given him a present, mm-hmm. but it was from this very intense, emotional, intimate place where she's like, I want something to inspire your soul. You have to have this. And mm-hmm. gives him the banjo. And he's like, dunka, dunka, dunka. I know he's not Kermit, but like dunka, 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 dunka. That's the only one banjo song I can come up with right away.
Yeah.
Other than, you know, plink, 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 plink.
Yeah.
Okay. But then in the very next scene, his mom gives him a far more expensive gift.
Oh, yeah.
And it's from a place of complete misunderstanding, mm-hmm. of a place of the status I want you to have, the thing that should make you happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
visually, this film I have watched so many times now, and I'm like, it's just gorgeous.
Yeah.
Beautiful the whole way through. The set dressing is amazing. That mm-hmm. weird penis candle that we didn't mention. That's an Easter egg for you guys to find.
Yeah. Enjoy.
Yeah. Like, I agree with you completely. That's a beautiful thing. And it's comparable to my applaud moment, which I will tell you now.
Yes.
I love their romance. Mm-hmm. It's exactly the right flavor. I think that for a tryst, a tete-a-tete, a very short, sweet, beautiful thing. It was just the way they fabricated it was believable. The way they followed through with it was believable. The way it ended, even if I disagree, mm-hmm. I can disagree with something that's beautiful.
Yeah.
And so I, like, every time I've watched this movie, my heart has soared. Mm-hmm. I think that it's so believable. He was parched and she was water and she was drowning and he was this hand to grab. Like, mm-hmm. even if she needed something to focus on for that last week, that she could be like, I can still bring joy into this world.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it is about owning how she passes, but she, for the whole last week, dedicated so much of herself to Harold. Mm-hmm. And like, can't you imagine? I'd be all up in my head. I'd be like, oh, well, I got to do this. I need to do this before I die. I need to do this. And she's like, nah, I've long lived. What mm-hmm. beautiful thing can I hand to this young man? Yeah. And it turned out to be her own saggy butt.
Buttocks.
Buttocks. You have one
question for you.
Oh.
Would this movie work if the genders were swapped and
nope.
it was a young woman and an old man?
Nope.
Nope. Nope. I mean, talking about bias. Like,
if it was an 18-year-old woman,
yeah,
I would let it slide. Mm-hmm. Mm, damn.
I would have to, like, I would have a lot of misgivings about it. I'm almost certain it would leave me feeling gross on a few different levels. Because, like, part of the charm of this movie is the fact that it is a younger man with an older woman.
Mm-hmm.
And but he's still the one in financial privilege. So if you're talking about, like, if she was the one who had, like, the financial privilege over him, then I could definitely see it work, but it might still leave a bad taste in my mouth.
Because imagine if it was a poor old man and a rich young lady.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You'd be like, what's that dirty old man doing with that rich young lady?
Yeah.
There is definitely a class statement in this one that isn't relevant. It's not in the story of, like, The Graduate.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Where you still got a young man coming of age being seduced by an older woman.
Mm-hmm.
This is different because he is given everything in life, and he is more than willing to throw it all away and to die. He's obsessed with death.
Mm-hmm.
It's that story of being introduced into life that he doesn't know exists that really, there needs to be that transcendence between the two classes.
Mm-hmm. And we don't know how moneyed or unmoneyed she is. She probably stole a whole bunch of Vicodin and sold it on the black market because she was going to die in a week anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's canon.
Yeah.
It was not canon, guys. Let's just assume that after, okay, so she was in a palace as a child. She talks about kingdoms. We don't know if it's fabricated memory or whatever, but mm-hmm. we can assume that she came from what appears to be privilege to being a slave prisoner mm-hmm. to having moved to America after having had some sort of romantic relationship with Frederick. And then now she lives in a train car mm-hmm. in California, like, having had all of these rich experiences and is well traveled and well educated and has all this philosophy inside of her. And so she's, I mean, it's equal richness. It's just that this one is all facade and presentation, and hers is this earned deep experience that you just can't, the kind of money they got, you don't get one lifetime. That is generational. Mm-hmm. The kind of experience and knowledge she's got might be one lifetime, but it's nearly as much as you can get in a lifetime. And it's pretty freaking impressive.
Yeah.
But yeah, if freaking Dakota Fanning shows up in the arms of Sean Connery, I'm calling the police.
Yeah.
There are too many movies like that anyway.
I know. And they're all Sean Connery movies.
A young, energetic woman falls in love with this old man who doesn't know what life is. And
well, I mean, going back to the Pixie Dream Girl, like, the majority of the time, like, these are not women. It never seems to me that the love interests in those movies are around the same age. They're like 10 years, 15 years younger. Mm. And I don't know how I would feel about, you know, banging someone who was 22.
Oh, okay. So here's the deal. You know my family's history. Age is nothing but a number, okay, yeah. To a degree.
Yeah.
I could see myself in a May-December relationship. You know, fictionally, mm-hmm. or like different lifetimes, sort of. I could see myself being with a significantly older man, mm-hmm. right? I mean, now that I'm like 36, I mean, life and circumstances, some like 45, 50, mm-hmm. I wouldn't die at. I would not cringe myself to death at. Right. I wouldn't mind that at all. I'd be like, well, you're just a seasoned man mm-hmm. who's got a life. And as long as this isn't predatory behavior, let's do this, right?
Yeah.
I talk to like a 25-year-old guy and, or even a gal, and I'm like, you are such a wee baby. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we'll have a lot in common. That doesn't mean I can't have a relationship with the person. But if my brain drifts towards like what it would be like to have a romantic relationship with that person, all of my alarms go off. And I'm like, nope, that's robbing the cradle. And remember when you found out how creepy that Billy Idol song was?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I feel like I've consistently had a lot of crushes on celebrity men who end up being like 10 years older than me. Mm. And I keep telling myself, Lydia, there's a huge difference between your ages. Now, like, again, I'm in my late 30s. And I think when you hit a certain time frame, like, there's a huge difference between a 20-year-old and a 30-year-old. Mm,
eons.
There's a bit of a difference between a 30-year-old and a 40-year-old. I wouldn't say that there's a big difference between a 40-year-old and a 50-year-old.
Time gets shorter as you get older mm-hmm. because you have had the opportunity to have similar life experiences. If Hugh Laurie shows up at my house and is like, can I play some piano for you? I will direct him to the bench.
Yeah.
That being said, if I don't know any young stars, but if, like... I'm such an old person. I like TikTok, right?
Yeah.
And there'll be these cosplayers who are playing characters who are my age or older. Mm-hmm. And I'll be like, oh, that's freaking awesome. And then I'll scroll to their page to follow them. And it'll be like, I'm 16. I live in California. I'll be like, nope. And I like X right out of that. And it's not because I don't like their stuff. It's just that them being that age mm-hmm. and me being my age, mm-hmm. I'm like, I need to be the guard of that. And I don't see that with Maude because she's a genuinely nice person who although she does lots of things,
yeah,
she is being genuine in her affection, and the movie goes above and beyond to show that.
This there should be a lot of comparisons that are drawn between Harold and Maude and Lolita.
Oh no.
And like the biggest thing that I find in a lot of like relationships where you're dealing with someone who is underage is the fact that like the excuse that sometimes men will give when younger women throw themselves at them is that they generally say like, what, I wasn't supposed to go ahead and like she was just throwing herself at me, what am I supposed to do in that situation? And it's like, stand up and be a f-ing adult.
Yeah. You're in charge of one of the things. Okay. And this is a great comparison. So follow me down this rabbit hole for the mm-hmm. 2 seconds it's going to take me. When I was working with disabled people, severely disabled people, part of my job was, even if they didn't know what I was doing, was to protect their dignity. Mm-hmm. A kid who doesn't know that you shouldn't drop trow in public just simply does not know that you don't drop trow in public. I help you correct that problem. We solve it however we need to. And that's all it is, right? My job as the person who has that knowledge is to protect you, a more innocent, marginalized, vulnerable person. And when it comes especially to things about sex, you are doubly responsible. And the thing that happened in this movie is he went after her. He met the age requirement minimum for our culture and everything. Sorry, it had to be said.
Yeah.
And in Lolita, she's like 14.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Lolita is a child.
Mm-hmm.
And although I'm not 100% familiar with the work of literature, because it grosses me out and I got a huge taboo on kids being abused like that, I know enough of it to be able to say the grown-ass person should have looked at the situation and been like, I need to physically step away.
Mm-hmm.
Harold pursued Maud. Maud accepted the invitation mm-hmm. of a grown person.
Right. I feel like in the entire case, like you see a lot of like Maud approaching Harold, but at no point, like she asks him, oh, can I give you a ride home? And he's like, no. And she's like, oh, okay. And then she just, you know.
Because it's entirely consent based. And for 1971.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's a lot of like, I don't feel like they are imbalanced power-wise. Not just because of the fact that he has money, but mostly because of the fact that if at any point he made a very obviously active, like, I don't want to have anything to do with you, Maud would have backed off.
Well, when you mentioned that he was going to meet that other girl, she was like, okay.
Yeah.
That's the choice you made, and I accept it, even though you could tell on her face that it made her sad.
Yeah.
Because she had so little time left.
But it made him sad, too.
Yeah, and he mm-hmm. like totally killed himself in front of that chick for it.
There is that one movie, Autumn in New York. I had to verify the name. Autumn in New York is a Winona Ryder and Richard Gere movie when Winona Ryder was relatively young. And the movie ends with her dying. She's got a, I don't remember exactly, maybe cancer or something like that.
She got eaten by a Gorgon.
She turned into a ghost.
Which Winona Ryder movie are we referencing again?
Go on. It's cancer. Let's say cancer.
Yeah. I mean, these movies do happen. They just don't happen as well as Harold and Maude.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, but I wouldn't trade Harold and Maude for anything.
Right.
It's so good. And I hope you guys, I hope you applauders listen to it. Nope. I hope you listen to this. I always hope you listen to this. Whatever parts make it in. God bless you, Jen, for cutting all this stuff. This is going to have a lot of edits. But that's because we're talking about some touchy stuff. But we're happy you came with us. We are happy that you're inspired to maybe go watch this on Amazon Prime or send your money directly to the people, whoever.
Yeah. Yeah. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. Like us on iTunes and the various different places. Comment, engage. We would love to hear from you.
That's true. And we're hoping to have our Patreon stuff revised pretty stinking soon mm-hmm. and get back into the swing of shocked and applaud stuff. We're going to be here together
mm-hmm.
looking at the things.
Yeah.
Looking at each individual daisy as a unique and vital life organism.
Yeah.
And no, we're not going to ignore the daisy for the field. We appreciate you guys.
Our review of Harold and Maude has completed. But don't let it get you down underground, applauder. We've already recorded April's episode. And there's still so much love to shower you with. Hey, this is your audio engineer and manic pixie dream dweller, Jen. Thanking you for enduring with us to the end of each commercial-free episode. While we take a small break to let March Madness come to its timely end, why not take a moment to introduce us to the unsuspecting earholes of your own social feeds? ShockedAndApplaud.com has got you covered with individual episode links to share, or support us on Patreon for only $1 per month. Admittedly, it takes a lot of effort to provide this podcast to our listeners each month. But believe me when I tell you, you're worth it, applauder. Thanks from all the gang for your continued support of our epic film smack talk and celebrations of strange cinema. We'll be back April 7th with a brand new review. From Shocked and Applaud, thank you for patroning the peculiar.